Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Woo!
Is that in the name now?
Woo! Woo!
Do we have to have a woo in the name?
No, there's no fucking woo in the name.
Brothers Geek Podcast, woo. This is episode number...
Are we adding that to the fucking logo?
We gotta buy the new... We're gonna
Brothers
buy...
Geek. Woo!
We have to buy a new, we have to buy a new,
is there one or two
domain name that has woo in it?
Woo.
Oh, it's a double exclamation
triple
point.
Triple or triple?
No, it's just double. We're not getting crazy here. Come on.
Come on.
Ridiculous.
This is, Brothers Geek, episode 67. Guess what? We're doing a one shot, a Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
This is a one shot about, what is the lamest movie that came out this past weekend?
This is a one shot about La La Land.
I can't.
What are you talking about? That movie's supposed to be amazing.
I know, it's supposed
Everyone
to be good.
That.
It's
the Will Smith movie. The Will Smith movie.
That's what I said, didn't I?
No, you said 67.
No.
I forgot the name of the Will Smith movie. I wanted to drop
Collateral
that joke.
Beauty?
On,
Collateral Beauty?
Collateral
yes,
Beauty.
I wanted to drop that joke.
One shot of Collateral Beauty. We're going to take a little turn from the geek
this
stuff.
This is a one shot on Collateral Beauty.
Yeah. No.
I don't think I would go to that movie if it was free.
Jeez. You'd
never get those 2 hours back.
It's like
actually like an hour and a half.
Oh, okay, my God.
Okay, you know, 2 hours. So
not even 2 hours
time,
of crap.
Yeah, travel time.
So, yeah, Rogue One. It's
don't,
the first...
Hey, don't... You're giving away the punchline, dude,
What's
in that
the punchline?
Tone.
What's the
What's your problem?
What?
This one, Rogue One.
Burr, burr, burr. First standalone Star Wars movie ever. This is the first of many that they're promising us. Well, they're promising a Han Solo movie, and what else, Andrew?
Possibly a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, I heard that got scrapped because they didn't know how they could do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for
I think
sure
Boba Fett
they're doing
gonna,
a Han Solo movie. Because
I think Boba Fett's
going to
be part of the Han Solo movie.
That would be awesome.
That's what I heard. Like
that would be right. Very cool.
He's like the villain of that movie.
They are rightfully so. They are attempting to translate the Marvel Universe success into the Star Wars universe by doing lots of movies that are set in that universe, which is a great idea.
Sure,
I completely agree.
And if they produce good non-formulaic movies, then it will be a success.
And they're promising one a year, so forever is what they're saying. As long
for
as they have ideas,
future.
Yeah.
I mean,
milk franchise for every dollar.
Right.
If they continue to make good movies, I mean, what they've made 12 or 13
if they
Marvel movies,
I believe that
they've made
good
so much money from Marvel. Oh my god!
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
did you see the report that Disney? First ever studio to crack $7 billion in a year.
Whoa! Wow.
Well, when you own everything,
you own everything.
This year, 2 weeks left in the movie, 2 weekends left in the movie season,
yeah.
And they've already exceeded $7 billion in receipts for movies.
Wow, that's nuts.
That's
nuts. So we all saw it.
Rogue One.
When did you all see it? Rogue One.
First showing I saw was Thursday night at 10:30, the Cinemark here
twice.
In Tucson.
Right.
I have seen it twice.
You saw it twice?
I have seen it in – first night was in 3D in the giant theater. It's in the Cinemark down here, nice theater, reserve seating.
Yeah, we have Cinemarks up here too. Those are nice. Yeah.
And so I saw it Thursday night at 10:30. And then the family and I went on Sunday morning, the 9:20 showing at the Cine Capri in Phoenix, Scottsdale.
Nice.
Yeah.
Andrew?
I went Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Cine Capri here in Scottsdale, the big, you know, 300-seat giant screened theater that there's two of them in Phoenix and that's the one nearest to my house, so I went there. My theater was 100% full.
Yeah.
As the general manager of the theater could let us know every, like, 20 or 30 minutes leading up to the showtime, that they needed us all to squish together because there was going to be no empty seats. They sold every ticket to that showtime.
That's impressive.
Don't tell me what to do. I'll sit where I want.
Don't tell
me what to do. I'm going to sit where I want. Who did you go with?
People in line for the 10 o'clock show at when I got to the theater at just about 5 o'clock, there were already people in line for the 10 o'clock showing. That's
a
good
freaking seat, dude. Come on.
Yeah, man.
How early did you get there? I mean, we were talking about this last episode.
I just got there just about 5 o'clock, and there was probably 100 people in front of me.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Who did you go with? Anybody?
I invited a bunch of people, but people had to go to work and things like that, and not everybody's as big a Star Wars fan as I am and plan their entire day around going to the movie.
Yeah.
My friend Haley came and met me. She
this weekend for months, years.
Say what again?
You've been counting down.
Oh yeah,
for this weekend for years.
I have.
Yeah. Facebook posts up the yin yang about this.
Star Wars is my jam, man. So yeah. I was very excited.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm there with you.
So. Yes, you are. I saw it afternoon of Friday because I was working Thursday evening, so I didn't get a chance. I went in the 3 o'clock afternoon, and I was very surprised, middle of the day on a Friday, that there was anybody. It was very full as well.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I was very surprised by this. And but
there is a thirst for all things Star Wars.
Yes, this is true.
Yes, sir.
So it was... it was a good theater and it was fun. And
solo or did you go with someone?
I went with Mandy, my girlfriend.
Aww, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Is Mandy a Star Wars fan?
Oh yeah. She loves it.
What is her credentials?
Yeah.
I don't know what you are looking for. She's just a geek and
credentials for being a Star Wars fan. Explain that.
You don't have
an answer?
I don't really. Well, like, I know she's seen them a bunch, if that's, like, credentials enough. She quotes them on the regular.
Seen them a bunch.
If you asked her if she was a Jedi or a Sith, how would she respond?
Would she know what those are?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that's step number one.
Step number
Seriously,
one.
We're building evidence here. Does she know what Coruscant is?
Probably. Probably, yeah.
That's not your.
I don't. It's never come up.
Probably is not a definitive yes.
See, here's
I'm just trying to tease this out. Come on.
So she's.
Was she there because she wanted to be there, or because you were going and it sounded like a good idea?
She is a level 3, maybe 2, in the way of a Star Wars fan. If that makes sense to you.
Okay.
So she likes it and have seen all the movies, but she doesn't know the planets. She doesn't know the name.
Falcon did the Kessel run in.
She probably wouldn't know that. She's not like a freak like we are. So
I'm just trying to gauge, she has a
strange attraction to Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know what that's all about, but
we all do.
It's Ewan McGregor.
Yeah,
we all.
Ewan McGregor. Yeah, yeah.
And it's a charming Scottish man.
That
pretty much
that attraction is not strange.
It's kind of like everyone likes Ewan McGregor.
Pretty much, he's the best part of those movies. So
easily the best part.
We saw it together. Yes. I would like to start off with what I didn't like about Rogue One, because
why?
I feel this is the reason. Let me talk. Because I feel like
you always feel this need to be the shit on stuff.
Hold on.
Okay. Let him speak.
Yeah. I feel like I need to start off with what I didn't like, because I feel like the majority of this episode is us just going to be singing its praises. And so I just want to...
There's so much derision in your voice, dude.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. It sounded like you hated this movie.
No,
dude.
I love this movie. Are you kidding?
Attitude.
This is probably... This might be as good as Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
This might be just as good as... time will tell.
There are nits to pick, though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to start with the nits. And the nits are, it's a little slow in the middle. Some of the characters like stories I don't really like. There was a couple of scenes where I'm like, that's completely throwaway, didn't need to be in there at all. There's a couple of I don't really understand a lot of what happened with the what's his name, the guy who's missing his legs, who's like kind of a rebel.
Guerrera.
Yeah, that guy, I kind of don't like him. Like, I understand the reason for him to be there, but he kind of just irked me a little bit, and I didn't really understand his purpose. Like, I could have done with somebody else in that role, or some character that was a little more interesting. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen Rogue One yet, we're going to spoil the shit out of this. So, So you should probably, like, just don't listen to this unless you've seen it. And it's made a lot of money, so you probably have seen it if you're listening to this, but just a warning.
Speaking of, to date...
Spoiler alert! Death Star plans.
So yeah, that's what it is. They actually steal the Death Star plans.
Hey, this Death Star plans get stolen by these guys. This is what this movie's about, guys.
Come on. Spoiler alert.
Because people might not have seen it yet, and they're, you know, may be fans of ours, we got to make sure, because this isn't a spoiler-free review. This is we're going to talk about all aspects of it.
Go see the movie right now.
Go see it right now. And
what are you doing?
Do you agree? Do you guys have any gripes before we start, you know, talking how great it was?
Yeah, I have a huge gripe. It's been bugging me since I've seen the freaking movie.
Love it. Let's hear it.
Do you guys remember the scene where the fucking Death Star is upside down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the deal with that?
It's space, dude.
There's no up.
There's no up and down. It's space.
It's upside down.
No. It's space, dude. It's space.
Oh, that's really
funny. Interior of the Death Star does not fucking rotate.
The
people inside the Death Star, it doesn't shift around.
It's got artificial gravity, dude.
Why is it upside down?
There is no upside down. Stop saying that.
It's spherical. They get pulled towards the middle of the mass.
Yeah.
The laser array is in the northern hemisphere of the Death Star, not the southern hemisphere. The dish out of which the beams fly is in the northern hemisphere of the Death Star. And there is a distinct
shot. I thought that was a cool.
When they're testing it, that it's in the fucking southern hemisphere.
I thought that was cool, actually, because you always see it in that formation where it's
it
at
lets
the top.
You know that it's a spaceship.
It's a spaceship. We're in space.
They can get it wherever they want.
Dude, my God, you guys are so wrong.
You are the science guy. You're science fiction.
Driving me crazy.
You know what bugs me?
It's driving me crazy.
It bugs me when we see
shot of the upside down Death Star is bugging the hell out of me.
What bugs me is when we see like the Enterprise always the same orientation. Like that's what bugs me. Like we're in space. We're in space.
There's an up and down there's an up and down in the Enterprise, dude. You're 100% wrong about that.
You're in space. There is no up and down. There's artificial gravity.
No, there is an orientation. It's not up and down. It's the orientation of the ship.
We're in the weeds right now.
It's not the board cube, dude.
Wow.
We got to move on.
Yeah.
The Death Star is also not the Borg cube.
Oh, God. Okay. It's the
Borg
sphere.
In the northern hemisphere.
Oh, I like that. God. That's your only gripe? That's it?
That's my only gripe.
That one shot.
I love the movie.
Literally
dude,
5 seconds
it.
Of the movie.
It's a war movie in Star Wars that I've always wanted.
It is a war movie.
It's
Holy crap.
Good. Empire is so good, but it's almost as good as Empire.
It's a war and a heist movie. It's legitimately, it hits so many little touch points of kind of known genre ideas, and it just does them all really well.
Just the ending, I love the fact that they embrace the sacrifice. I love the fact that
absolutely.
Here's one.
They didn't fuck around. It was great.
Here's one of my gripes. It's kind of like my gripe, and also I'm mixed feelings about this. It's a gripe, and it's also I'm happy that they did this. There's no Jedis in this movie. I was kind of hoping there would be at least one Jedi, like something Jedi related.
I'm totally fine with that.
I'm totally fine with that also because the characters are so great.
The Force sensitive dude.
Dude, the Force sensitive dude
steals the show. He is so awesome.
So awesome.
This is my comment about Chiwoot and Baze, the two guardians that they encounter in Jedha City. They could have their own movie.
Dude, they were so great.
Totally they could have that. Their own movie.
I want that
they
movie,
so
dude.
Compelling, the two of them. And they have
because,
such
you know,
good...
telling their story would tell us the story of Jedha and the Jedi Temple.
Absolutely.
And the history of Jedha as a mecca.
For the Jedi.
For Jedi.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want that tale to be told.
That would be very cool.
That would be so cool to see. Oh, my God.
So cool.
His moments were, like, amazing. Like, when he's... Yep. Like, holding his stick and walking through the battle to the thing that he needs. He's blind, and he has no idea where he's going. And he has, like, a general idea of where he needs to end up.
Well, he trusts the Force.
He trusts the Force!
He's not a Jedi, but the Force is
freaking awesome.
Yep.
I love...
Just like they establish in The Force Awakens, that Maz Kanata, remember her name correct?
Yeah,
she knows the Force. She's Force-sensitive, but she's not a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there are the Force-sensitive people who don't
become
train
Jedi.
As Jedi. Who cannot. They're not that level of Force ability, but there are those people out there.
They might be, but they just don't follow the path of the Jedi. See, that's
exactly.
I love that.
That you can draw the distinction between...
Those two guys were so amazing.
He clearly had some amazing power because he could dodge. He could dodge laser bolts.
Yep. He could sense the presence of
other
people.
Yes. He was he's just a little sensitive, not like necessarily like a full-on Jedi. That I mean, that was like the first guy where you're like Jedi is a
see with the Force.
Right, right.
He caught the cane and his staff in midair when it was thrown to him.
Yeah.
He can see.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is some Force.
That character was one of my favorite parts.
Absolutely, absolutely. What is it? K2SO?
K2SO.
Was great. Yep. Alan Tudyk.
Clever.
Very fun.
Has a nice kind of arc to him as well.
Totally.
How he kind of wraps the story up is
good. Very good.
Here's what's great about this movie is like all these little characters are very interesting, and they all have their in the final battle. They all play their part to help the cause, and I mean ultimately sacrificing themselves to make this happen. Everybody on that planet dies.
Honestly, it would have felt like a cheat.
Everybody at the base, certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
If this crew of Rogue One, because they build the whole movie up to establish the idea that essentially the rebellion is going to be crushed unless they can get these plans. And they really sell that idea. And everybody's afraid and everybody's wavering and the rebellion is fracturing.
Breaking up, yep.
Right,
and then,
right.
I mean, it's such an important thing to do, and if they didn't sacrifice everyone, and if everyone in the crew didn't realize that, you know what, giving my life for what we need to accomplish here is totally worth it, then, I mean, they totally made that work. It paid off in an amazing way for, I think, everybody. I don't feel like, I mean, because everybody died.
Mm-hmm.
But how they die and the way that they give of themselves, it made complete sense, and you really felt every single death. None of the deaths were like, I didn't really care about this character that much.
I have more praise for the movie in terms of I thought that the space battle at the end was the single most effective space battle of the entire series.
It was the best
here's
space
my
battle.
Argument.
It was so
here's
good.
Here's my argument.
Yeah.
Because the other space battles are kind of muddled, sort of chaotic messes. I mean, there is a pattern, but they're more difficult to watch. I thought this space battle was really well done in that it was not just throw a ton of shit up on the screen and let's be amazed at the technical prowess of the ability to produce 500 things at once on the screen. It was
George Lucas
every
space
shot it, right. Every shot,
quote unquote, George Lucas space battles.
Yes, trademark.
Yes,
it was this space battle in Rogue One was really well done, organized. Every shot had a meaning,
and you could track all of the characters.
I thought it was really good. Yes, I love the callbacks. The callbacks to the squadron leaders were
great. That was so perfect.
And woman pilots.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's lady pilots in Return of the Jedi, and so there was there was lady pilots in Force Awakens, so there was
also lady pilots in Episode 1.
Yeah.
In the Naboo squadron.
Right. So lady pilots in this was great. It was a great addition because they were kind of left out of the whole. There's a shot of the rebels, like you're right behind an X-wing, and it comes out of hyperspace, and there's just all these ships around you, and there's Star Destroyers, and it's like you track with the X-wing for just like 10 seconds. It's like the shortest shot ever.
Yeah,
but that shot gave me chills, and I couldn't help myself. I'm sitting next to Mandy, and I just look at her, and I go, holy shit.
Yep.
You know? Like, I said that, straight up in the theater. Like, holy shit. Like,
Chris,
that shot was gorgeous.
What did you saw it 3D and in 2D. Yep. What did you think of the 3D rendering of the movie?
I think it was well done. It was mainly unobtrusive.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. I didn't think it added that much. I saw it in Cine Capri, and I think the 3D gets in the way sometimes. I caught more, I enjoyed it more in regular D. So
what did we think of the digital rendering of Grand Moff Tarkin?
I've heard multiple people
I loved
have-
it
I thought it was
I thought
great.
It worked actually pretty well. His face is it takes a tiny few seconds to get used to saying, is this an actor? Or are they CGing it?
What broke it? Leia was far worse.
Leia was far worse. Totally.
Leia
first
shows up
shot and broke me out of my disbelief. I mean, that's the other bummer of the movie was that shot at the end. You have to crush it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to crush that scene. And it completely broke me out of that.
I think I was caught up enough in the moment.
I was bummed out.
I wasn't that bothered by it. I think it didn't look great, but it wasn't bad. Like, I wasn't like, oh, that looks horrible. I was just like, oh, that's not as good.
It's not as good.
Tarkin is much better.
He looked fantastic.
I agree. Yeah, Tarkin looked great.
I loved all the old pilots being inserted in. I loved Tarkin being there. The space battle looks so good. And, the AT-ATs on the AT-ATs on the beach, and just like the X-wings wrecking the AT-ATs was so fun.
That really got a sense of how imposing and how kind of terrifyingly big and powerful those things are.
Yeah, if you're like a ground troop, you're just effed. Like, there's nothing you can do to that.
They're completely unstoppable.
Right.
Seeing it in the theater as a kid, and so you've never seen anything like that. And when they show up in Empire Strikes Back, and they're coming towards it, and they seem unstoppable. But how, especially the scene? I mean, it's in the trailer, but it's also in the trailer for good reason because it's such a fantastic shot where Baze shoots the rocket and it hits the AT-AT in the face,
and it
like takes the shot and it like necks back at him, and I'm gonna shoot you now. And then the X-wing flies in.
It was so well done. I mean, so frankly, that scene with the AT-ATs was much better than the Hoth scene.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it was so much more visceral about the holy shit, these things can smoke you.
Right, and there's nothing we can do. The ground battle was probably one of the most like heart-wrenching and intense things in Star Wars. Oh, like that the last like 40-minute battle.
Well, I was just about to say. We're focusing a lot on the third act, and I think that's a little bit telling in terms of yes, it's a great movie. We all enjoyed it, but the first two acts tend to be a little bit slow.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, right.
And I mean, they're good and they're serviceable, but it's all building to that last act where everything wraps up and everybody's involved, mm-hmm. and you have a really well-executed, cohesive battle at three different levels. You have Jyn Erso and you have Cassian that are in the vault essentially and doing what they need to do. You have the ground troops doing what they need to do outside. That's essentially a diversion so they can do what they need to do. And then you have the space battle going on. So you have those three different locations for this all going on simultaneously. And every single one of those story threads moves with a lot of propulsive, you know, energy, and you get caught up, and none of them are kind of slower or not than the other. And you can track the movement of all the characters in them. It's just a really well executed last act of the movie.
I agree.
I really liked, so I read an article on Polygon. I'd like to credit them for this, there was always this question in like hardcore Star Wars fans of why make a Death Star that has this one like flaw in it, and you shoot in this one exhaust port and it blows up the whole thing. That's stupid. Like, it's bugged Star Wars fans for a while. Like, hardcore guys will nitpick about it. This movie answers the question. The guy who designed it put it in there so that the rebels could destroy it. Right.
Yep. It
and he knew that they would finish it without him. And he's like, I'm going to stay here and make it have a weakness and give them the information they need.
Yeah.
Because I have to do this. Like, this is my job. And I'm going to sacrifice my whole life to do that.
And to make sure that it's possible to destroy the thing.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, I really thought that was great, because that's exactly right. It answered that question, and it did it in a compelling and plausible way.
Totally.
So
totally.
I love that it wasn't gimmicky.
Absolutely.
That it was, he was thoughtful about it, and he was a brilliant engineer, and mm-hmm. he knew that people would see that and recognize it for what it is. So
totally, yep. Totally. Obviously we like this movie. I'm trying to think of scenes. Oh, the Darth Vader scene where he boards the ship and there's like just a hallway of dudes and they're trapped.
Yeah.
And he's just like destroying them. That was the most intense Darth Vader scene in all of Star Wars. Like,
oh, easily.
Like, it was just like, this guy is just going to murder all these dudes.
I mean, we know how badass Anakin Skywalker was, and we know that he was, you know, this great hero in the Clone Wars, but then we see him at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and he's kind of given himself over to the dark side, and he's kind of killing these unarmed people, and, you know, you get his sense of how cruel... let me finish my point. Sense of how cruel he is.
Right.
But this scene, you really see how kind of unrelentingly oppressive his power is, mm-hmm. as like just a warrior, as Darth Vader.
You stand no chance.
You stand no shot. Right? If you're not a Jedi, you're dead.
And he has no mercy. I mean, there's no mercy in him whatsoever.
And it conveys that better than any other scene in any of the other movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most of those shots in the original trilogy are him striding. And even even his lightsaber fight with Obi-Wan is sort of tame.
Mm-hmm.
And so that scene in this movie does more to sort of effectively demonstrate that, there's a reason why he's more feared and people tremble at his name than the Emperor even.
Yeah.
Because the dude is the weapon. That
will
smoke your ass.
Right.
He's
out running around killing fools. The Emperor's sitting back on his throne, like running the show, but Vader's running around
he's the enforcer. He is the weapon.
What's the name of the guy, the guy who designed or who's building the Death Star, the main villain of the movie?
Orson Krennic.
Yeah. The scene where the two of them are like talking to each other, you really just get the sense you remember, like, Darth Vader can just kill you whenever
kill
he
you
wants.
At any time.
Right. He doesn't give a shit who you are. Like, you're running the Death Star. You watch yourself, dude. I can just smoke you at any time.
The only person that he cares what they think or what they have to say about anything is the Emperor.
That's it.
Literally the only person that he gives two shits about anything in this galaxy.
You're alive only because either the Emperor hasn't told me to kill you or you're useful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's two reasons. It's so good. That scene was amazing. Oh, man. That gave me, chills, dude. I was like, whoa. There were a lot of moments like that. This is, the darkest Star Wars movie. This is probably...
It's very dark.
Everybody dies. They sacrifice themselves.
And it's hopeful.
Exactly. As dark as it is at the end of it.
I shed tears of hope at the end because it's so great that they succeeded. And it just is a perfect prelude into the whole thing that changed our lives.
It's seamless. It's like a seamless transition right into episode 4. Perfect. Literally, they're handed the plans, and she gets on her ship and flies off.
I was thinking about that, though. Because the opening shot of A New Hope is them being chased, right? So they leave, mm-hmm. and they jump into hyperspace. And so there must be a period of time between where the Emperor figures out where they are and catches up.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is it immediate? Do they immediately this Star Destroyer immediately jumps into hyperspace to chase?
I feel like it's immediate. It's almost immediately. Darth Vader gets back on his ship and he's like, get after him.
Her communication to Darth about we're on a diplomatic mission
mm-hmm.
suggests that.
Well, I mean, that's just an outright lie, and Vader knows it.
Well, yeah, she wouldn't offer that lie if she knows that they watched her ship away from the battle, dude. Mm-hmm. That's my point, is that she flies away from the battle. They can't be immediately after her. There's got to be a gap where she has time to sort of figure out, okay, what's our story?
She doesn't go straight to Alderaan. She wants to go to Tatooine and pick up Obi-Wan. So maybe that's how they catch up with
her. Well, and Tatooine is said to be a planet on the outer rim, so it's probably not close to where they are. So, yeah, there's probably some time that's passed, you know.
And the Star Destroyer figures out, because it's not Vader on mm-hmm. the Star Destroyer, right? Or is it?
No, it is. Yes, Vader. Yeah, Vader
goes on the ship. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he's choking fools and...
Screaming at people and, you know... Tear the ship apart until you find those plans! Yes. I want the passengers! I want them alive!
Wow. Thanks, Andrew.
It's Vader.
I mean...
Live moment.
What else is there to say here, gentlemen?
I described it this way, and this is more just effusive phrase. I described it this way to someone else this week for a hardcore Star Wars fan who believes in kind of the romance of Star Wars, the good versus evil story, and the fact that the good side never gives up, and there's always hope, and that's what Star Wars movies are always about.
This captures it so well.
The essence of what a Star Wars mm-hmm. movie about the Star Wars universe should be is that there's always hope, and you never give up. And even if there's the smallest glimmer of light, then evil can be defeated.
Right.
And as long as good people try, mm-hmm. then the evil can't win.
Well, that's that whole scene of them The rebels deliberating on whether they should do anything at all or if they should just disband the rebellion.
I'm glad you brought that up, Patrick. And I have one gripe about the movie.
Okay.
And I love – we haven't talked about Jyn Erso. And maybe that is indicative of the fact that she might not be that strong of a lead character.
Mm.
It might be more of an ensemble piece. But I didn't – her transition from being kind of cynical and kind of, I don't know, not involved in the rebellion to being the rebellion's most vocal kind of advocate about never giving up and always trying and always wanting to survive. And I guess encountering her father like she did.
I think because
her arc didn't really feel that, I don't know. I felt like it might have been a little shallow.
I feel like the plot was happening to her, not like her involvement in it, kind of a thing. She was kind of jaded, and the whole message from her father cleared up a lot of all her character gripes.
I think that's right. In the first two acts, she seizes control.
Right.
She definitely is the motivator towards, you know, planning and executing the stealing of the plans.
Yeah, I think the death of her father transforms her into.
I think the message that he sends
the actor,
the message he gives the pilot that gets to Lawrence Fishburne. What's his name? God, I'm blanking on it.
Saul Guerrero.
That guy. Blanking on the actor's name.
Oh my god, fully blanking on his name.
The message that she sees from her father, I think, is the pivotal moment. Because, like, he's basically saying to her, I'm sorry, like, I had to do this. This is the whole reason I did this. I hope you can understand, kind of a thing. And that I think that cleared up a lot of her, like, emotional problems that she had. And then going to save her father and then him dying for this cause, really, like, okay, my dad died for this. I have to finish this. Otherwise, what he did is pointless.
I think I can see that. I just, I don't know. I don't know if she, I felt like,
it wasn't like on the nose
Forrest
as
Whitaker.
You'd like. Forrest Whitaker. Thank you.
Jeez. Well done.
I knew it was something weird like that. but
he's great.
He's great, but like his character, like I said, I think his character is kind of throwaway.
His character, like what they've done, we talked about this at the beginning, like what they've done in the Marvel Universe, they are creating connections between different properties and different storylines. Saul Guerrero, his character exists in. He's appeared in several episodes of the animated series Rebels that airs on Disney.
Oh really?
He's an ex clone.
That makes sense.
He was part of the early parts of the rebellion, and he appears on Rebels.
The movie could have used to develop their relationship more. It could have used a flashback of their interaction.
Him raising her, or something.
Even
a little tiny montage about.
His
like sacrifice or his like dying on that planet would have been more impactful if they would have done a scene like that.
I feel very connected to him, to be completely honest. And
that first act really should have had a flashback scene of them together, him sort of imparting wisdom or how to be a
warrior, he talks about how she was such a great soldier, even as a teenager. And I mean, you get
and
this,
it would have
very
it would have added it would have added. She was clearly bitter about an anti-rebel, and she was raised by him.
Yes,
that distinction. There was a break, and so that. It would have added some flavor and nuance to her emotions and her childhood connection to the rebellion and then her break from that and what was the source of all of that. It would have added depth to that and really made that her switch back that much more impactful if they would have added a scene of them together, flashback kind of stuff. And it was it was missing that because – Her transition, I think, is missing some of that. It's like, the flip is switched, where we really should have seen more. She was clearly his best warrior. He says it. Yeah. And he is militant mofo. So she was in there, and she was a loyal follower, and then he left her.
Yeah.
She felt abandoned, and she rejects the rebellion, right? So they could have developed that a lot more, and I think it would have had more power for her to come back if they would have done some of that.
You mentioned connections to other franchises, and Disney has outright said that they're kind of ignoring what the prequels and ignoring the expanded universe.
Oh, no, the expanded universe doesn't even exist.
Right.
They're not even ignoring it.
But Bail Organa, played by Jimmy Smits, who played Jimmy Smits in Revenge of the Sith, was in this movie, and I thought that was really good because it's like, okay, like he's grown up, and you can put that. Like he's the bridge. He's the
I don't think they've ever said that episodes 1 through 3 aren't canon anymore. They're canon.
Oh no, they're absolutely canon.
So that's why he's in there.
I liked him being in there though. Like that he was the bridge.
Well, he does a great job.
He's the bridge between.
He has a nice gravitas
Leia.
About him, and he, you know, as Leia's father and kind of that or adoptive father, and how he pulls all that together and. Yeah, he helps found the rebellion.
He puts a face on the people on Alderaan who are annihilated.
Yeah,
I mean, that's his role in that is that he's going back to Alderaan, and we all know that in the next movie, he is destroyed.
Yeah, he's killed.
So
that's great. That's so good.
He puts a face on
it. Yep. All right.
Overall, we really enjoyed it. It's a high quality Star Wars movie, but like there are very few movies that are perfect, and this was not a perfect movie, but highly entertaining, and it really
Christopher, did you enjoy it this second time more? Yeah, I'm gonna see it again for sure. Maybe this week we'll find some time.
Oh no, I'll definitely
go. I caught more of the references. I'll go with you a third time.
Wow. All right.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Well, I mean, 360 odd days until episode 8.
Woo!
Yes.
360, huh? That's the next one. They've actually started filming, right? Like it's
They're done with principal photography.
Oh, they're done. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're done with principal photography.
Wow. All right. Yes. So thank you. No trivia, huh? Because it's a one shot.
It's a one shot.
Well, we should mention the numbers are huge. 290 million worldwide opening weekend.
First weekend. Yep.
155 million in the States. It's like the fourth best weekend all time in December.
Yep, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a huge hit, and it's a very good movie.
I think next weekend with Christmas it'll probably make just as much.
Easily.
All the word of mouth that's going
it'll
on too.
It'll approach 100 is my guess.
I think it'll easily approach 100.
It'll do 100 million because a lot of people go to the movies on Christmas
holidays. Yep.
And it's a Saturday. So I think a lot of people will go see it next weekend with their family, and yeah, it's a PG-13 Star Wars movie too, which is kind of weird. So all right, that's it, guys. Wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up.
Han shot first, people.